Toes spearmint gum from her purse and handed it to me.
My favorite. How'd you know?
She smiled. You had some the night we went out. I smiled back at her.
How's your mom?
She said.
My mom?
Fine. Why? I managed to peel my eyes away from Rayanne's long legs and make the turn off her street.
She seemed pretty uncomfortable today.
Yeah. Church weirds her out.
Why?
Rayanne could never resist probing. Her parents? In public, they were devout religious people. At home, really abusive. At least, that's what she says.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I don't think...
I would have let my statement go if she hadn't stared at me with those blue eyes, pulling it out of me. I don't think I could ever become religious. I mean, I don't mind doing good things for people, and I could probably sit through church once in a while. But I could never see myself being a person who prays before meals and goes around talking about God all the time, like his existence is a reality. I doubt that's why you glow, but if it is, then there's not much hope for me, and seriously no hope for my mother.
Well, maybe if you'd...
Religion is a farce, Rayanne. A myth invented to give people hope, false hope. I'm the type of person who needs proof, reliable evidence, not wishful thinking.
Funny, you of all people needing more proof.
Is it too much to ask that God would prove himself? She looked away but didn't mince words.
Sounds to me like what you really want from God is an apology.
What? For all the bad that's happened, especially to your mom and you. The urge to get defensive shot up in me like a rocket, but I managed to defuse it. I suppose if God poked his head through the clouds and apologized to me, I'd accept that as proof of his existence. She shook her head. We turned into my neighborhood, and I caught her up on things. Walt's shocking appearance the day before and how murder had been tracking me ever since.
Why do you think it's after you?
I never intended to keep feeding Rayanne lies, but... I don't have a clue. All I know is he's on my roof right now, along with another one called Accuser. I thought maybe you could come over and...
What? You think I'm like... Creeper Kryptonite?
I grinned.
Something like that. I'm here to help, but I am not climbing on your roof.
I loved that she was keeping a sense of humor. Mine had all but shriveled up and died. I pulled up to my house. Rayanne opened the pack of gum she'd gotten me and shoved a piece in her mouth before handing me one.
That was interesting today, I said, the pastor's comments, about forces of wickedness.
I'm telling you, that's what's going on, Owen. She chomped down on her gum twice as fast as I did.
What do you know about it?
She sighed. Well, it's not like I know everything. My church hardly talks about it. But I do know evil has been defeated.
Really?
It took great restraint not to belly laugh. Could have fooled me. She quit chewing, stared me down, then pulled the fluorescent gum from her mouth.
Here. You want me to hold your gum?
I wrapped it in a Kleenex. She was out of the car already, charging up my driveway, mumbling something. Praying, I assumed. I wondered how brave she would be if she could actually see what she was up against. I followed, but not as fast. The two creepers began to stir, bumping into each other. I caught up and watched her, how her eyes scanned the rooftop. I could have stared at her all day.
"What's happening now?" she asked.
I glanced at the creepers. They look agitated.
"Good."
She took a big step forward and they hissed. Another step, and they scurried to the edge of the roof, their heads facing the opposite direction from their decrepit bodies.
Now?
She was amazing.
They seem really bothered by you. I think they're leaving.
Murder and accuser did an eerie maneuver, arching and contorting their backs, then fell backward and floated down. Their nasty feet made contact with the grass, but instead of running, they sank into the earth up to their waists, their torsos and heads still above ground. Then they defied more laws of nature by traveling backward in the opposite direction from how they were facing, until they were gone.
Have they left?
Rayanne was wide-eyed, fully engrossed in what was happening.
No.
I couldn't resist. I stepped back, shielded my head.
They're coming, right at you.
I thought she'd run. Instead, that girl stepped even closer to my house and planted her feet apart, shoving her arms straight out like a cop stopping traffic.
No weapon formed against me will prosper.
She yelled it twice.
What are they doing now?
I covered my mouth, exploding on the inside. They're trembling, aren't they? She raised her fists in the air like a boxing ring champion.
Aren't they?
I was laughing too hard to talk.
What's going on?
She huffed, dropping her hands onto her hips. I finally came clean and told her she'd run them off minutes ago.
Next time creepers come crawling, don't call me.
She turned away, only mildly mad as best as I could tell. I turned her around and hugged her. Man, it felt good. My mother actually agreed to go to Rayanne's for dinner. But I'd asked her in front of Rayanne, so she pretty much had to say yes. She even brought a loaf of freshly baked bread. Store-bought, but still warm. Mrs. Griner ushered us into her home like the star of an HGTV show, proud to show off her small but well-decorated house. My mom did the half-smile thing, looking uncomfortable. She was allergic to kind-hearted women. Don't ask me why. There was quite a spread on the table, placemats, cloth napkins, covered dishes. Rayanne didn't seem to think much of it. Mr. Griner barged into the room like a cannonball, his voice loud and enthusiastic.
"Well, hello, I'm glad you could join us."
His smile was on par with Santa's. My mom glared at me like I'd forced her into this, which I kind of had. Rayanne stood by her parents for a moment, and there it was again, a splash of that sweet scent I'd smelled the first time I'd come over. We took our seats around the table, and when I finally got my napkin unwound, my set of silverware crashed to the floor.
Nice.
About the time Mr. Griner started raving about his wife's irresistible twice-baked potatoes, the unbelievable fragrance hit me again.
What?
Rayanne tapped me with her foot under the table.
Nothing.
I didn't feel comfortable announcing that, as best as I could tell. When a glowing family comes together, they give off a really spectacular scent. Mr. Griner offered to pray over the meal. Then they all joined hands, reaching toward my mom and me. It was the third time in 5 minutes my mom made her uncomfortable face. The second was when I dropped my silverware. The food was delicious. Pot roast and carrots cooked to perfection. Once we got past the heavy-hearted discussion about our friends' funerals, there was lots of small talk. At one point, Mrs. Griner mentioned her deceased son, Lucas, and Rayanne narrowed and rolled her eyes at her mother.
I didn't get it.
Then the subject changed, and my mom contributed to the conversation better than I'd thought she would. Prom came up.
Owen, you already have a date, right?
No, Mom, that fell through.
You know, Rayanne doesn't have a date either.
Mrs. Griner grinned like a kid who just found a chocolate bar. She clarified that several guys had asked Rayanne, but she'd turned them all down for one reason or another. It took all of about 15 seconds for my unruly mom and Mrs. Manners to start giggling back and forth, making plans like Rayanne and I couldn't think for ourselves.
So how about it?
Mom looked back and forth between Rayanne and me.
It's only 2 weeks away, Rayanne said. I don't have a dress.
What about that one at the mall you liked? Mrs. Griner was already reaching for her wallet. You could buy that one. I rarely saw my mom so happy, but I was still annoyed. It wasn't the idea of an evening with Rayanne that bothered me. I was totally up for that. But a stiff tux, crowded dance floor, and creeper-ridden prom scene? No, thanks.
What do you say, guys?
My mom practically mouthed the word, yes.
Sounds great, I said.
Yeah, Rayanne said.
Mrs. Griner burst into applause, and my mom bounced in her chair. Whatever. Seconds later, Rayanne and I were out the door on our way to the mall. Even if I had known what was about to happen, there would have been no way to prepare myself. Not for this. Chapter 21. The automatic double doors at the food court slid open, and the smell of cinnamon rolls swarmed us, carrying traces of rotten creeper funk. They were there, scattered and slithering around, some connected to people. There were plenty of them, but nothing like the mass numbers that stalked our school. Thankfully, Rayanne had a specific store in mind. On the way, I told her about the awesome scent her family gave off. She shook her head and told me that was completely absurd. I got a kick out of watching creepers scatter, like cockroaches scurrying from a spotlight, to avoid crossing paths with my new prom date. Thin and fragile as she was in the material world, in the alternate dimension, Rayanne was like a Jedi. I followed her into a mirror-lined store with white marble floors and walls. Fancy dresses hung on long racks, suspended by clear wire. My mood hadn't recovered from attending 2 funerals in 2 days. Neither had my guilty conscience. But I didn't want to sulk around Rayanne. I spotted a seating area and dropped into a hot pink chair that might as well have had a bowling ball for a cushion.
"This is the one I like," Rayanne approached, holding up a sparkling red dress.
"Nice. I like the shiny things on there." She laughed.
"Sequins."
And that's how I became a guy who knows about sequins. While Rayanne waited for a dressing room, a freckle-faced boy jumped feet first into the chair across from me. 5 or 6 years old, I'd say, with that star-like glow emanating from his chest. This glow, it was even more brilliant, a multicolored flicker. The boy's shackled mother told him to hold her shopping bags while she went into the dressing room. He shouted no and shoved her bags to the floor. A pair of shoes and some lacy undergarments spilled out. She scolded him, picking it all up and warning him not to pull that again, then disappeared into a dressing room at the same time as Rayanne. I was watching the kid bounce like a monkey in his chair when something caught my attention. High above his head, glimmering specks floated and swirled. They began taking shape, flowing into formation like a marching band. A massive silhouette stretched from ceiling to floor. The heaviness bearing down on my anguished mind just gave way to an all-over sense of relaxation, so freeing I thought I might lift out of my chair. Strange as it sounds, soothing heat somehow reached past my skin into my soul, like I was being hugged by someone gushing with acceptance for me. And as a huge bonus, it temporarily relieved the freeze I carried in my gut. Fully visible now, a watchman illuminated the store. He had a slender build, dark hair, and perfect facial features, the kind humans strive for. He wore minimal armor, a thick platinum belt over a loose-fitting, light-colored robe-type garment. The material looked white, but I couldn't say for sure with all the radiance. As much as I'd complained about my visionary curse, in that moment, I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
I already knew there was nothing more spectacular in the universe than a watchman, and this only confirmed it. I held on to my chair, hoping not to fall to my face this time. Squinting, I observed the watchman lower himself to one knee and place his jumbo-sized hand on the boy's head. I didn't understand that or his expression. Serious. Grief-stricken, even. Despite the watchman's majestic presence, everyday life continued. "Son?" the kid's mom called out from behind the dressing room curtain.
"What, Mom?"
"Just checking. I don't need you to check on me, and I'm sick of holding your stuff." This time, the boy hurled his mother's belongings in the air. I expected her to come flying out of the dressing room and tear into her bratty son. What I totally didn't expect was two gnarled creepers passing through the wall and closing in on the obnoxious kid. My tranquil moment ended like a car crash on a Sunday drive, but I actually wanted to see this. I tucked my legs into my chair and dug my fingers into the padded armrests. I was about to witness an epic beatdown, a watchman defending a child against an evil no grown man could endure. But the watchman removed his hand from the boy, just stood and stepped back, gave the kid up like a dirty cop cowering to the mafia.
"Rayanne! Hold on," she said. "I almost have it zipped."
I couldn't just sit there. I jumped up and stood with my back to the boy, arms out, as if I could actually shield him from the double-team assault. I guess the kid didn't like me standing so close. He gave me a swift kick in the butt. I fell forward but caught my balance in time to turn around and watch the attack. A creeper named Thief plunged its atrocious hand into the boy's puny chest and literally ripped the shimmering light right out of him. He proceeded to crush it, smashing it in his hand until it turned to lifeless, ashen-looking dust, like the dirty stuff I'd seen on Walt's ravaged body. Thief opened its misshapen fingers and let the black, powdery substance trickle to the floor. That's when the boy's mom came flying out of the dressing room. She got down on all fours in a white evening gown and demanded that her son help pick up her scattered belongings. A handful of shoppers stopped and stared. Now the other creeper made its move. Grotesque wounds stretched across its forehead, down its sullen cheek, and under its garments. But I could still make out condemnat. Condemnation, I presumed. The creature hunched over and gathered the gritty grossness off the floor. Then it spit on the dirt, massaging the slimy concoction through its bony fingers. What it did next was so off-the-charts freaky that I grabbed and squeezed a complete stranger's arm. As the boy stood and kept up his tantrum, the creeper flung the muddy sludge off its hands onto the child's throat. And the stuff started moving, molding around the kid's neck like a fat, slimy leech. Within seconds, it formed a shackle. I couldn't hold it in. No way. It turns out I was squeezing a store employee's arm, sending her into a panic. "Let go of me!" She yanked away. There were even more onlookers now. "I'm sorry, I..." Thief walked behind the oblivious boy and grabbed hold of the back of his freshly fashioned shackle, then began a jerky pulling motion. Each time it tugged, it let out a blood-curdling shrill, not because it was straining, but with what seemed to be a kind of sick delight, its lips drawn back in a fang-exposing, crooked smile. I called for Rayanne again.
"Can you please get out here?"
"Coming, I'm getting dressed now."
My eyes were glued to the boy. Naturally, his mother glared at me.
"You have a problem?"
Apparently, she was too leery of me to head back into the dressing room. What would she have done if she'd seen the real threat to her kid? Thief ran its calloused hands through the boy's gelled hair,
then rubbed the back of the small guy's head in a circular motion. It uttered something. Then out popped two cords, wiggling and contorting like disgusting worms, right out of the kid's scalp.
"Rayanne!"
I yelled so loud that everyone around me froze, including some people outside the store. That same rattled employee was on the phone now, probably calling security on me.
"One second," Rayanne said. "Is everything okay?"
"Not even a little." I stared at the watchman, but he didn't notice me. His gaze was fixed on the boy, the corners of his mouth turned down. Condemnation wrapped its hand around its own wrist, then twisted back and forth, eventually pulling off a cuff that had somehow formed on demand. The disgusting creature crouched down and attached the metal cuff to the end of the boy's bulky chain, easy as twisting yarn into place. Then it used its index finger to carve an inscription on the cuff, while the other creeper etched with its finger on both of the boy's freshly grown cords. And finally, it was over. The two terrorists melted into the wall, but the watchman remained, hands clasped at his waist, still doing nothing. His head hung low. Then, gradually, he looked up, blinked in slow motion, and gazed into the ceiling. I was sure he was staring at something, something even I couldn't see. The best way I know how to explain the atmosphere at that moment is to say it was like having the warmth of the sun on your face while an icy hailstorm pummels your skull. I stood there, plagued by an intense, troubling sense that good and evil were never meant to coexist, much less collide. I was ready to bolt out of there, but first, a fast, up-close look at the kid's cords. Self-absorbed, defiant. Like Jess. His mother pointed in my face.
"Get away from my son!"
"Hey, your son kicked him in the butt." I have no idea why some soccer mom felt the need to stick up for me. Rayanne finally made it out of the dressing room, and I grabbed her arm. Too late now for her to run off the creepers. "We have to go." I tugged her toward the exit, and she accidentally flung the prom dress to the floor.
"Why are we—"
"Trust me." Once we were locked inside Rayanne's silver Hyundai, we sat in the mall parking lot, blasting the AC. I talked so fast, my words ran together. She was having a hard time following me and, as usual, shot questions at me, one after another, so that I hardly had time to respond. I'd been desperate to know how people got their shackles. Now that I'd witnessed it firsthand, I seriously despised the answer. "Think about it, Rayanne. It's only a matter of time before the light the children carry gets snatched, crushed by evil, innocence gone." I drummed my fingers hard on the armrest. How was this right? All a person had to do was live long enough and dare to defy authority, and they'd be attacked and fitted with a shackle? Deep breaths weren't working. I popped my knuckles and nearly gnawed a hole in my lip. "Don't talk to me about good defeating evil, Rayanne. Not after what I just saw. That watchman did nothing to protect that child, and whether he couldn't or wouldn't, either way, humanity is doomed." She put her delicate hand on my shoulder and waited for me to calm down. "I believe everyone does get shackled at some point," she said. "But there's obviously a way to get free. You know that, even if you aren't open to my explanations." "I'm open, I'm just not willing to put my faith in failure." "Humanity fails, Owen, not God."
"How can you defend him?"
I turned in my seat and yelled like she was much farther away. "What kind of cruel, pathetic, narcissistic being creates life, then sits back and watches his creation get pulverized by evil, enemies that by design outmatch us? Why weren't everyone's eyes created to see them? Why don't we have the physical strength to kick their—" "So God made that child talk back to his mother? It's God's fault the kid acted out?
Rayanne's passion matched mine.
What kid doesn't talk back to his mother, Rayanne? Haven't you done that?
Of course, but all that proves is that we're all rebellious. Our innocence isn't stolen, Owen. We give it up. We act selfish by our own choice, over and over, without being sorry, and darkness rushes in. How can you blame that on God?
Ridiculous argument. If he exists at all, he made us this way. He set the rules.
Rayanne got quiet. And about the time I was reveling in the idea that there was no way for her to counter, she jabbed back,
"What if God gave us a choice, Owen? What if this whole thing is about what we choose? Who we choose? What choice do any of us have?" Sweet as she was, I was getting tired of her idealistic theories. Besides, they didn't really apply to me. I'd been spared a shackle, some sort of strength of heart I had that made me immune, I'd concluded. But as for masses of others...
Rayanne's phone rang. Her mom wanting to know how the shopping trip was going.
"Yeah, I didn't buy the dress," Rayanne said. "The mall was crazy tonight. I'll come back and get it later. Tomorrow, probably."
I could hear her mother's disappointment seeping through the phone. By the time she hung up and we pulled out of the parking lot, I worried I'd been too harsh. I didn't want to run off the only friend I had, someone who was starting to feel like way more than a friend. Who was I kidding? I wanted to kiss her so bad it hurt. We stopped at a red light, and she took the lead in clearing the air.
"Look, I know our conversation got a little heated, but if you can take it, so can I."
She held out her hand, and I took in the way her tousled blonde hair framed her face.
"No hard feelings?"
I smiled and shook on it.
"No hard feelings." Now I really wanted to kiss her.
She pulled up to my house, and I apologized for ruining her shopping trip.
"Yeah, well, that's what I get for going to prom with a guy who sees into the spirit world."
Adorable. I tossed and clawed at my covers all night. For one, I kept replaying the awful scene from the mall. Then I'd think about what Rayanne had said, how we all have a choice. That made me want to take my pillow and start whacking stuff. What good is free will if an invisible enemy is determined to use it against you? I finally drifted off and had a horrible nightmare about being in the woods with Walt and Marshall. I held two loaded guns identical to the one my mom's ex back in Boston kept on the nightstand. Both barrels were aimed at their decaying heads. Normally, it would be a relief for a dream like that to end, but not when you wake in the middle of the night gagging on creeper stench. I thrashed in my bed, twisting my neck in every direction. I didn't dare sleep anymore without my closet light on and the door wide open, so for the most part I could see. But in my world, seeing could be more terrifying than not. There was a word plastered on my closet door, black lines, still dripping. Fear. It hadn't been there when I went to sleep. It's one thing to have the feeling you're not alone. It's another thing to be sure of it, and not know where the intruder is. I pulled my knees to my chest and gathered my covers around me up to my nose. That's when I noticed that my dog was missing from my bed. I whispered her name, scanning my room until finally I spotted her in the shadows, hunkered in the corner. Her reflective neon eyes were fixed on me.
"You okay, girl?"
She didn't budge. Chapter 22. Ever been too scared to stay still but too petrified to move? That was me in my bed, shivering, barricaded under my thin sheets. I think my dog was paralyzed, too.
"Come here, girl."
She gave a low-pitched growl. Adrenaline shot like fire through my veins.
murder had to be, in my room. I had a sickening idea of where it was likely hiding, but there was only one way to know. I leaned over the side of my mattress, slow and cautious, grabbed a fistful of my blanket draped onto the floor, then dared myself to pull it back. The longer I waited, the harder it got. I held my breath, then went for it. A series of colorful words flew from my mouth, and I made it all the way out my bedroom door in two steps. I'd seen something poking out from under my bed, a grungy gray foot, festering toenails. Worst fears realized. I basically slid down the stairs into the living room. There was my mom, sprawled on the sofa, wasted. I stood there, feet apart, knees bent, contemplating my next move. Then my heart stopped for the second time in less than a minute. A creeper emerged from behind the sofa, stretching tall in the process of connecting with my mother. I'd never seen this one before. Ugly doesn't cut it. I might have tried to wake her had my attention not been hijacked. The stairs popping and cracking. Murder coming for me. I grabbed my mom's keys and darted out of the house. I know only a deadbeat would leave his incoherent mother in a den of devils, but she was too drunk to run, and she wouldn't have believed me anyway. I drove, fast and aimless. It was 5 a.m. I couldn't call Rayanne at this time, and couldn't stomach going back home. I wasn't even sure what a creeper could do to me. I had no chains or cords. But I didn't want to find out the hard way. It wasn't like I repelled them. I'm a creature of habit, I guess, because at some point I ended up driving by my school. I was taken aback by the sheer number of creepers slithering outside. Maybe since there were no humans inside to badger. They clung to the brick, scurried along the rooftop, huddled in groups, converged on the front steps. Like a horde of insects, droves of them. Why my school? I would have researched it if I'd had any idea where to start. I pulled over and watched the spectacle. Like a horror film, only the villains could leap off the big screen and come after you. Despair throbbed in my chest. These vermin had invaded my world and infested my life, had me on the run in my boxer shorts before sunup. I banged my head on the steering wheel, feeling sorry for myself and my species. The nauseating odor crept through my sealed windows. What are they doing? One by one, the creepers scampered to a huddle, quickly forming a massive clump near the edge of the property, hunkering down. It was like a giant, shifting, slithering wall of black. Across the street, 12 watchmen were approaching, walking in sync in a triangular formation. I flew out of the car, climbing up the hood and onto the roof of my mom's Infiniti. Wow. Colossal warrior bodies, brilliant illumination. Full-body armor light years ahead of anything humanity has ever dreamed up. Skin colors as varied as the human race. All looked to be in their early 20s, though I doubted they aged at all. The watchmen came to a halt, the brisk air ushering their one-of-a-kind fragrance my way, a mix of masculine body soap, a scented candle, and fabric softener. All power and cleanliness. I sucked it up my nose and held it. The gleaming army stared at the shabby creepers, eyes focused and stern. Surely this was it. The moment they would charge my school and destroy the evil army. In sync, they lifted their crowned heads toward the sky, peering up at the first faint hues of sunrise. And they stayed that way until the sun had dawned. I climbed back into the SUV, not willing to expose my smiley-faced boxers to morning traffic. Eventually, I started the car and drove home, so dejected it was all I could do to turn the wheel. Those watchmen were dressed for battle but did nothing more than pose. What was going on? I opened my front door about an inch. The contaminated smell slapped me in the face. My mom was hunched over on the sofa watching Good Morning America.
Owen?
Hey, Mom. I swung the door open and walked inside as if everything were fine and there was no horrid creeper brooding behind her back. Not easy to do.
Where were you?
Her speech was slow and muffled.
I ran an errand.
Please go do something with that obnoxious dog of yours. She won't shut up. I dreaded going upstairs, but told myself if murder was going to brutalize me, I might as well get it over with. I made it to the top step unharmed. Daisy was there, nose pointed down at the living room. Maybe that meant my room was clear. I locked my dog with me in the bathroom and showered with the shower curtain half open. Then I pulled Daisy by the collar and basically shoved her in my room and shut her inside. When I didn't hear her bark or growl, I went in. I could tell from the smell of things that the creeper was gone. A courageous glance under my bed confirmed it. Maybe I'd actually go to school today. That would get me away from my mom's monster, and it would put me in a prime seat in case the watchman decided to advance. But by the time I got to school, they were gone. I took a shortcut to first period and glanced at the depressing suicide memorial fence. I stopped. I'd never taken a close look at the lineup of pictures, the desperate souls who'd taken their own lives, most of them before I came to Masonville. I eyed the first picture, suicide number one, and scanned the notes plastered around it, all addressed to Lucas. Then it hit me. He looked just like her. A surge of emotion clumped in my throat. Lucas Greiner, Rayanne's younger brother. Chapter 23. I started to text Rayanne, but stopped. Better to tell her in person how sorry I was about Lucas. As I dragged my feet to first period, the mysterious old man's words came back to me, what he'd said about my school. Tragedy ever since those doors opened, untold loss. Rayanne knew that as well as anyone. Walking with my head down, I noticed there were creeper notes all over the place, sailing a few inches off the floor and landing in random corners and in the gap underneath lockers. They all had the same number combination like before, 523. But the three letters that followed were all different. BTL, SMJ, RWF. What did they mean? Rayanne had noticed them too. She texted me some images and wrote, "So freaky." I got to first period and there sat Dan with his 2 tons of cords and chains, grinning at me like a fat hyena. His eye was bruised as though he'd been socked in the face. Too bad I couldn't take credit for it. "What?" I asked. I was in no mood for his antics. "Jess is a sweet, sweet girl." He winked. "Tell me you didn't do anything stupid, Jess." I studied his damaged face. "She'd do that to you? Maybe she'd actually put him in his place." He slumped and dropped his chin. "No." I'd never seen Dan look so pitiful, so defeated. But I can't say that I minded. After class, I searched the hallways for Jess, but crossed paths with Rayanne instead. Her head hung low, such a contrast from her usual cheerfulness. She exited into an outdoor atrium and I followed her. She turned toward me, but kept her eyes down. "Today's my brother's birthday." There was no way for me to know that, but I still felt like a loser that I hadn't. "Rayanne," I put my hand on her shoulder. She kept her arms crossed. "I saw Lucas's picture on the fence." Her head sank even lower.
How'd he do it? Don't you dare ask me that.
She exploded before I'd even had a chance to finish my question. She could hardly catch her breath. I took a step back to give her some space.
I was just going to ask how you guys celebrated his birthday before,
in the past, but I shouldn't have asked anything.
She teared up.
Owen, I didn't mean to...
It's fine, I told her, completely fine.
She wiped her eyes, then exhaled long and heavy, like she was forcing herself to be strong.
On the first day of school, Lucas was having a hard time finding one of his classes.
Rayanne, you don't have to do this.
I want to.
She swallowed hard. He happened to ask Jess for help, and Dan saw them talking. Just talking. He came charging over and got in Lucas's face, humiliated him in front of everyone. From that day on, Dan made my brother's life miserable, called him out all the time, cut him down. I knew Lucas was upset about it, sick over it even. But I never, ever thought he'd...
Her fragile voice cracked.
I hugged her, content to let her tears soak my sleeve. Standing there, holding her in my arms, two things hit me. Dan was even more messed up than I'd thought. And Rayanne meant even more to me than I'd realized. At lunch, Jess finally got away from Dan long enough for me to talk to her, but she didn't seem to want to hear a word I had to say about anything, especially him.
Why do you put up with that lowlife? Cover for him when he lashes out at you.
She grabbed my collar and pulled my face to hers, keeping her voice down.
Look, I know Dan has issues, but you have no clue what his father is really like.
Actually, I did. Mr. Wonderful on the outside, scary evil on the inside.
Dan's trying to change, she said, but it's kind of hard when something as stupid as not saying sir gets you a black eye.
That's when it clicked. All Dan's taunting, his harsh jabs about my missing father, and it turns out his was an abuser. Not that I could bring myself to feel sorry for him.
I can't deal with this today.
Jess stormed off before I had a chance to warn her that she'd never change him by letting him take his anger out on her. A concept my mom couldn't seem to grasp either. I wish I could say that was as intense as my day got. At dismissal, while walking down the hall with Rayanne, I saw Lance and Megan hugging at his locker. I was instantly queasy. That same creeper that had stalked her before, Demise, stood close to Megan, eyeing her. Worse, she had another creeper attached. They were all gruesome, but this one... A scorched word ran sideways over its face, starting at the bottom of its cheek and stretching across its shriveled nose over its non-human eye, and onto its eroding temple. A word that struck the most terror in me yet. I turned to Rayanne.
See Megan over there?
She tried a casual glance but didn't pull it off.
Yeah?
She's linked up to a creeper. I whispered it. Suicide. Her eyes went wide.
We've got to do something.
Such a relief, the way I could count on her to believe me.
Let's get over there, I said. Your light will drive it away.
I walked up to Lance like the two of us were still good friends. He socked me in the shoulder like old times.
What's up? I said.
The mortality rate. Lance smirked. Megan smiled, but barely. Rayanne and I froze.
I'm Lance.
He reached to shake Rayanne's hand, then pointed to his girlfriend.
This is Megan.
Rayanne said hello and stepped closer to grip Megan's hand, but it had no effect whatsoever on the creeper. Our small talk kept going, and Rayanne inched over, nearly rubbing shoulders with Megan. But suicide used Megan as a human shield,
avoiding Rayanne's light no matter what angle she came at it. Then, as if suicide exerted some sort of mind control, when it moved, Megan would move, shadowing her tormentor like her subconscious was held hostage. Even the slightest gestures mimicked her captor. The creeper looked down and licked its lips. Megan did the same. I shuddered. Rayanne looked to me for some sign of what was going on. I rubbed circles on my forehead, exasperated. Rayanne's potency was no match for the creeper. Maybe it had to do with the fact that it was latched to a human host. The thing clearly wanted to avoid Rayanne's light, but it wasn't willing to give up Megan. I looked up and around, wondering if Watchmen would come to Megan's rescue again. But they didn't show. I pulled Lance to the side. Can I talk to you for a second? He followed me down the hall, beyond earshot of his girlfriend. It's Megan. His eyebrows pressed together. What about her? Lance, she's in serious danger. He huffed. What are you talking about? I think she's going to hurt herself on purpose. He stepped back, crossed his arms, scowled. I thought maybe you'd gotten some help, but you're still... I know I've said some unbelievable things lately, but you have to take me seriously on this. Trust me, she's in big trouble. A long exhale, then he clamped down hard on my shoulder, pulling me into a nearby restroom, like he wanted to throw down or something. His face was an explosive red. Look, he shouted. It's a well-known fact that I think you've become psychotic, and it's also a well-known fact that you were the last person to hang out with Walt and Marshall. What are you saying? I'd never seen him this angry. I don't know what you did to them, but maybe it's not a coincidence that they're both dead. My gaze dropped. You think I wanted to kill our friends? That's what some people are saying. I'm getting tired of sticking up for you. What? People suspected me? Since when? Why don't you try listening to me? I got in his face. Hear me on this. Your girlfriend could die, Lance. I flinched when he pointed in my face, his voice low, but so furious he was shaking. Creepers were flocking to the scene now. You stay away from Megan and from me, you hear me? My back was pressed against a wall at this point, and a surge of anger kicked in. But I wasn't willing to go to fists with Lance. Who knows what would have happened had some guys not walked into the restroom. It seemed to pain him to turn his back on me, and after a scorching glance over his shoulder, he walked out. I lost that argument, but it was Megan who stood to lose everything. After school, I relied on my sense of smell and my dog's cues to determine if my home was safe or not. It seemed okay for now. The word guilty inscribed above my living room window was fading. The highlight of my day. I sat on the sofa with a bag of Doritos, contemplating my next move. I refused to sit back and do nothing to help Megan. I needed to talk to her, but without Lance around. And this wasn't something I could put off, the thought of her being number 15. I couldn't let that happen. Meanwhile, Rayanne texted and asked if I wanted to go back to the mall with her. My mom won't rest till I buy that dress. Not exactly as important as a mission to save a life, but of course I wanted to go. I'd have spent every second with her if she'd have let me. A few minutes later, there was a knock at my door. Rayanne, I assumed. Wrong. It was Jess, and by the time I answered, she was headed back to her car like she'd changed her mind. I went after her, and she turned to face me, trails of black makeup on her cheeks. She didn't look good. Did Dan do something? You need to dump him, Jess. She shrugged, then leaned on me to keep her balance. Have you been drinking? She said no, but I knew better. Talk to me, Jess. She plopped down on the cement, noisy chains and all. I sat next to her and waited for her to spill her guts.
I'm so confused. Her voice quivered. I think Dan cares about me, but I'm not sure, and after last night, it's too late anyway.
I wanted to strangle him with my bare hands. I also wanted to shout, I told you so.
It wasn't what I thought.
She crumpled a tissue.
I wanted it to be special, to feel close, loved. But instead I feel...
She choked.
It made the memories worse.
She buried her face in her hands, then leaned on my shoulder.
Memories of what?
No, I can't tell anyone, I promised.
Jess, what did you promise?
I cupped her chin and lifted her face.
You can tell me.
She swallowed tears, then started talking, describing how her dad's brother, her Uncle Jeff, came to live at their house for a while a few years back, when he was going through a divorce. Her parents let him stay in their guest house, a posh, two-level living area at the back of their property. It took her a while to say it.
He didn't stay in his room at night.
Her palms pressed over her eyes. He came into my room. I was 12. She became hysterical, gasping while explaining how she'd confided in her mother. Together they'd told her father, but he'd accused her of exaggerating. He'd made her promise never to talk about it, to put it out of her mind and move on.
My mom told me to let it go, too. She's chosen country clubs and luxury cars over me, and my dad still hangs out with my uncle like nothing happened.
She fell into my arms, and I hugged her as tight as I could, with her entrapments and all. My heart broke for her. I wanted to find her uncle and put an end to his manhood. Then, it was like a light went on. The name on one of Jess's chains was Jeffrey Thompson, Uncle Jeff, and her parents' names were on the other two. It made sense now. But Jess had a fourth chain today. I guessed it before I looked. Daniel Quentin Bradford. Dan. That sorry excuse for a man was now baggage around Jess's neck, a worthless weight she'd carry around for the rest of her life. Unless I found a way to free her. I had to pull back and let go of her. The chill was too much. Still, I tried to comfort her.
Jess, I'm so sorry that you...
A creeper passed through my neighbor's fence across the street, striding in our direction. I cleared my throat and stood. Get up.
What?
We have to go right now.
I'm not going anywhere.
Her defiant chord was in full swing. At first I thought murder was coming for me, but I could see now it was a different one. Get up now! I reached down and grabbed her arm, but she slapped my hand away.
We're in danger, Jess. Please trust me. Stand up.
Oh, I get it. This is another one of your delusions. It was closing in, regret a few feet away, its comatose eyes feasting on Jess. It circled us, hissing, fangs exposed. I flung myself on top of her.
What are you doing?
I was smothering her, sheltering her from the breeze and pine trees, as far as she was concerned. Regret stopped and lowered to the ground behind Jess.
Leave her alone!
Why did I bother?
Stop it, Owen, you're freaking me out!
She elbowed me in the chest.
Get off me!
You don't understand. All I could do was hold her and watch the rancid thing extend its wrist into her newest cuff. But it suddenly pulled back, then ran.
What the...
I turned my head.
Brianne.
She stood at the edge of my driveway, mouth open, keys in hand.
I thought I'd come by since...
Since we're going to the mall. I peeled my arms off Jess, who stood and made a puckered-lipped face. He's with me right now, so... Right. Rayanne backed away, then hurried to her car. Wait, don't go. But she started her car and pulled away. What did she want? Jess said. More like whined. Don't be rude, she just helped you. That went over her head like I knew it would. She grabbed my hands and pulled, wanting me to hug her. But I stood stiff. I just hurt Rayanne. I had to make things right. Chapter 24 I drove to Rayanne's house, but her mom politely told me she was taking a break from company. We both knew that meant me. Can you please give her this? I handed Mrs. Griner a garment bag with the red sequin dress inside. I think it's the right size. Let me reimburse you. No, I want to do this. I dipped into the savings account my mom said was for emergencies. It felt like an emergency to me. Megan's house was in the back of Rayanne's neighborhood. I drove up as the sun was setting and knocked on her door. A stubby ceramic gnome stared up at me from the overgrown flower bed, all chubby cheeks and a sneaky grin. I tipped it over with my foot. Megan answered, but barely opened the door. Hey, you have a minute? A nod. I don't know what Lance has told you about me lately or what anyone else has said, but I just want to talk with you. Will you come outside? She peeked over my shoulder. It's just me. She stepped onto the porch barefoot, her toenails painted fluorescent purple. Her suicide-obsessed companion followed. It seemed taller than the others, and the smell reminded me of the time a rat had died behind the refrigerator in my garage. I stepped back and tried to ignore it. The dip in temperature, too.
I'm not dressed.
She had on baggy shorts and a faded T-shirt, her hair pulled back in a sloppy knot. I don't care. I'm here to tell you something. Her eyes grew wide.
What?
I didn't know her all that well, but I swear, I would have done anything to help her, to get that creeper off her back. I have no idea what's going on in your life, Megan, but I want you to know that you matter. She pressed her lips together and blinked fast, fanning the moisture building in her eyes.
What makes you say that?
It's true, you're important, Megan. The universe knows your name and needs you. You would have thought I'd addressed the creeper by name. It snarled, pressing its head down at a steep, impossible angle toward me. Did that thing even have a spine? I worked hard to keep my eyes on Megan. You may not understand this, I said, but you have incredible, indescribable value. Suicide moaned, a low, monotone shriek that rattled my eardrums. A tear fell from Megan's cheek to her shoulder.
I'm sorry. She shook her head. I don't know why I'm crying.
I do. You're being attacked. And with that, Suicide drew its hands to its chin, gurgling and hacking until it puked up a slimy brownish-green mucus, mouth stretched wide so that it oozed onto its palms. It was as disgusting as it sounds. I grabbed my gut, covered my nose. It rubbed its vomit-covered hands together, and I heard something, a chorus of cursing and wailing, whispering howls that made my skin crawl. It was getting louder.
Owen, what do you mean?
Megan, don't believe the voices. I grabbed her shoulders. The lies in your head. You are meant to live. You have a destiny. Do you believe me? She nodded.
Yes.
Another tear. Suicide opened its palms, fingers spread, and the ghoulish groans became so loud I doubted I'd be able to hear my own voice. There was a deep gash in each of its hands, a horizontal slice that began to stretch and tear open. Then